Hey everybody, are we alive out there? Yeah? Yeah. My name is Reese. I'm one of the pastors of this crazy group of Trinity, or Jesus followers we call Trinity Church, and we're in the middle of a sermon series called Church is More, and really what we're really discovering is that church is really so much more than we often settle for, often so much is more than we often make it out to be, and today we're going to be talking about the insufficiency of Bible study. The insufficiency of Bible study. And before you start making your way to the door, I just want to encourage you to stick around because that statement's going to make a lot more sense as we go this morning. But as we start this morning, I want to kind of talk about something, discuss something that we all have in common. Doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your ethnicity, your race, doesn't matter your social status, how much money you have. It really doesn't even matter if you'd call yourself a Jesus follower or not. This is just a human thing. It's something we all have in common. And the thing we all have in common is that we've all learned things that we've never applied. We've all learned things. We have knowledge rattling around in our brains that we've never applied in our everyday lives. Now, for example, this is just from my life too. I'm just speaking from personal experience. Have any of you in gym class when you're growing up, were any of you forced to climb a rope? Forced to climb a rope? Yeah, so when I encountered that, I think it was sixth grade when I first encountered that, I thought, man, this is really what I thought. I thought, my parents is awesome. My parents must have enrolled me in like FBI elementary or something like this. This is just really cool. I get to climb a rope. But I just thought, and then after that, I came to my senses and thought, wow, did the gym teachers all gather at like a national conference and decide that the most applicable thing that we can teach sixth graders right now, hey, forget circuit training, forget health programs. Let's have these kids climb a rope. Let's have these kids climb a rope. That's what they're going to need going into high school. Yeah, maybe you've experienced that before. Many of us here can also really call ourselves accomplished musicians because when we were younger, we really rocked out the recorder. Anyone remember the recorder? Who played the recorder? Yeah, maybe to get like a recorder Sunday or something going here, right? Just really make a joyful noise to the Lord. As long as it's joyful, right? We'll worship together. No, let's not give the kids a real instrument. That's too hard. We're just going to give them this stick with four holes to plug up and blow into. American education system, huh? Growing farther and farther behind every day in math and science and writing skills, but if there's ever a competition where we need to play hot cross buns, America's really going to be great again, right? We're going to show them what's up. Have you had those kind of experiences before? You've learned things you've never applied. Maybe like me, you're forced to create an erupting volcano in like fifth or sixth grade, right? For like a science project. It was really cool, but I didn't really understand how that applied. Or maybe at a Christmas party, you learned how to cut snowflakes out of paper, right? Any of you cut snowflakes out of paper on a regular basis around here? I don't. Or this one just boggles my mind. I didn't get it then. I still don't get it now. I don't even understand why teachers would make us do this, but you ever tried to grow a seed in a paper towel? You ever tried to grow a seed in the paper towel? The seed never grows in a paper towel, and that's not applicable. I don't have a garden of paper towels in my backyard. I'm going to grow my plants in, right? That's just ludicrous. But we've all learned things we've never applied, and the sad part about it is that our Christian faith can really become the exact same way. We're really good in the Western world, especially in America, we're really good at studying the Bible, but then never actually applying it into our everyday lives. We're really good at learning the Bible, getting into groups, and maybe even discussing the Bible. We open up our Bibles and we talk about certain passages, and we actually might even talk about how they apply to our lives, but then we never actually get to the point of actually applying the Word to our lives. And this is a major problem. It's a huge problem. This lack of application really is one of the biggest reasons why society, many people in society, label Christians as hypocrites. Because they see their family, their friends, their neighbors who know the Bible really well. They know they go to church every Sunday. Maybe they even memorized a bunch of verses and they can spout them off to them at any time they want to. But they see the lives that their neighbors, their friends, their family live, and their lives look nothing like Jesus. Their lives look nothing like the way Jesus commanded his followers, his disciples, to live. And this is a major problem It's put up a huge wall between people who would call themselves Jesus followers and those who would not. And it's actually kept us, as we'll learn today, from becoming the kind of disciples we were meant to be, as Jesus meant us to be. And it also, maybe even more importantly, keeps us from accomplishing the mission that Jesus gave us to make disciples that make disciples. What we're going to learn today is something we all intuitively know, just from life experience, but it's going to come from the lips of Jesus himself. He's going to tell us that knowing does not equal doing. Knowing does not equal doing, and we all know this to be true. I don't bring my car to the mechanic because he's mastered a book on how to fix my car. I bring my car to the mechanic because he actually fixes my car. When my dentist is hovering over me with a big rotating drill in my mouth, and I don't know about you, but mine always has a weird creepy grin on his face. If he's hovering over me with this weird creepy grin on his face, I just pray to the Lord that he's actually going to be applying what he's educated in, right? We all know that knowing does not equal doing, and actually what we're going to learn today, this applies directly to what we're going to learn today. We're going to learn today that Jesus actually is far more concerned about what we know than by what we, or no, concerned about what we do more than what we know or what we hear. We're actually going to find out today that being a Jesus follower, being a disciple of Jesus really is about far more than Bible study. We're going to find out today that it's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. And so we're in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Feel free to pull it up on your smartphone, iPad, whatever you have with you. Go grab a Bible if you need it. But I just encourage you to follow along with us this morning. And before we go any further, let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this time. Lord, gathered is your church, and I just pray that this morning, Holy Spirit, you would speak to us in a powerful way through your word. You would speak to us through the very words that you inspired on this page right from the mouth of Jesus himself. And we just pray that we would intake this, we would digest it, Lord, we would apply it this afternoon, tomorrow, whatever that is, Lord, wherever you lead us to do. Holy Spirit, be in this place, guide us this morning as we're in your word. Touch every heart in this place, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Matthew 7, verse 24 is where we're going to be, and where this actually is we're jumping into the way later half, really the end almost, of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And Sermon on the Mount is really Jesus' greatest preaching, his greatest message, really, that he gave while he was on the earth with us. And it was a message that was really given to hundreds, maybe thousands of people, and it spanned a message that spanned a couple of days. So my message this morning is going to be like a half hour, 35 minutes. If we really wanted to be authentic, we could stay here for a couple days, right? And just, no, you guys aren't. You're giving me dirty looks now. Yeah? Okay. This message spanned a couple of days, and it's where we get a lot of the common sayings even in society, like judge not and do unto others and turn the other cheek. All of those kind of common sayings came from what I believe to be the greatest sermon ever preached, and that is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about things in this sermon like divorce and retaliation, loving your enemies, giving to the needy. He teaches how to pray. He teaches how to fast. He teaches about anxiety, the golden rule. And then there's a section that he preaches on. He talks about right before the section we're going to talk about today, and he talks about false teachers and fake believers. And even more specifically, you'll know a false teacher or a fake believer not by what they know, not by what they say, but by what they do. You will know a hypocrite. You'll know the true heart of somebody. You'll know truly what they worship if you see them do something. You'll know by what they do. It's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. And then he gets to verse 24 here, Matthew 7, 24. So jump in with me. This is where he picks it up. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine," the words I've been preaching over the last couple days, he says, "everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, this section of Scripture is remarkable, and I think all of Scripture is remarkable, but this section today is truly remarkable because it's so applicable for today. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit, God, when he was inspiring the authors to write this, that he knew exactly what our society, societal norms, our cultural influences would be in our life. Because I think in the Western world, especially in America, we've bought into a really big myth. A really big myth. And the myth is this. The myth is that the more knowledge you have, the more mature you are. The more knowledge you have, the more mature you are. And this is just even the biggest example of this is just our educational system. I graduate to the next grade by doing what? Spewing back the information the teacher spewed at me. That's how I pass tests. That's how I get good grades, right? Oh, who cares if you can apply that? Just spew back the information. Scantron tests, did you guys ever use those? The little pencil and have to fill it in. Yeah, just spew back information. That's how you get to the next grade. That's how you get good grades. That's how we praise people when they get good grades because they can spew back information. I get a PhD. I get a job. It even affects my career. I get jobs based on the degrees a lot of times that we get, right? Bachelor's degree, master's degree, PhD, all based on educational system that really just is all built on spewing back the information that we've been given. And I can tell you, I've gone through a couple of job interviews early on when I was looking for a job, and they didn't once ask me how I apply that information in their job setting. It was just, do you know the information? Do you know the job? And this even spewed into our church context as well. In our church context, that's a really big myth we've bought into, is that the more Bible knowledge we have, the more spiritually mature we are. The more Bible knowledge we have, the more spiritually mature we are. And what Jesus is already saying here in Scripture and what he says all over the Gospels is really that couldn't be farther from the truth. What he's starting to say here and what he said in other places too is that obedience is the measure of true faith. Obedience is the measure of true maturity of a disciple. He doesn't say here, everyone then who hears these words of mine and takes really good notes. It's not what he says. He doesn't say everyone then who hears these words of mine and joins a Bible study on these words. He doesn't say everyone then who hears these words of mine and comes back next Sunday for the next dose. No, he doesn't say that. He says everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Because true Jesus followers, they intake the word, they digest the word, but then they apply it to their everyday life. And the word then applied to their life not only affects them, but inevitably affects everyone of those around them in their sphere of influence as well. And even the term of a Jesus follower, if we're going to follow Jesus, it requires action. We're not Jesus sitters. We're not Jesus standers. We're not Jesus studiers. We're not Jesus knowers, Jesus learners. We're Jesus followers. So we follow in his footsteps. The very word requires that we follow in his footsteps. We imitate him. And if he's our commander, if he's our Christ, if he's our Lord, we the things he commands, we obey, we follow. So it's at the very core of what it means to be a disciple. Obedience is the measure of true faith. It's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. And Jesus goes on. In verse 25, he says this, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, when I was reading this past week, it reminded me of a time in my life, it was a couple years ago, that I got a really bad infection in one of my teeth. If you've ever had an infection in one of your teeth, you know that it's not just one tooth that hurts, it's your whole mouth that hurts. And I had to take a lot of drugs to get up here to sing, to lead worship for a couple weeks. Man, did that hurt. So I went to the dentist, and he prescribed for me an antibiotic medication to be taken and to be picked up at the store. And so I went and I picked it up at the store. And any of you who've picked up medications before, you know that the medications come with a pretty hefty set of pamphlet of directions and warnings and all that kind of stuff. And so I went home and remembered what the dentist told me, how to take it. But then I read through the directions. I read through the prescription. I understood exactly what I needed to do. And then I took the pills, put them back in the bottle, and put them back into the back of my cabinet with the prescription. And it was a couple days later, and I couldn't like fathom why my tooth wasn't getting better. Why was my tooth not getting healthier? I read the directions. I read the prescription forwards and backwards, and maybe I thought, oh, maybe if I just read the prescription in a different spot, maybe I missed this little section down here. If I just read it in a different spot, or if I just read it again, just read it all again, and maybe if I third time's the charm, maybe if I just read them three times, my tooth will get healthier, or my infection will go away. But no, it didn't. The infection just got worse and worse and worse. Now you're probably thinking, wow, this guy's an idiot. And that would be an accurate assumption if that's what I actually did. But I just wanted to prove to you a point here. Yes, I took the medication right away because that's ridiculous to not take the medication right away. We all know that. But we all do this in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk. We come to Sunday maybe spiritually sick. I've been spiritually sick in my lives. And we come on Sunday and we hear what the doctor has to say. We read what the doctor has read to us. We might even feel really happy leaving the church building on Sunday, really learning a different part of the prescription. Maybe this, well, I don't feel really enlightened by a different part of the prescription that I didn't know, and he made me see the prescription in a different way. But we still leave church, still leave sick as a spiritual dog because we failed to take in the word, to ingest it, and then apply it to our lives. Therefore, we're not transformed. Therefore, we never see any spiritual fruit in our lives. We never see any fruit in our lives. And I just want to warn you this morning, if we're like that, if we never see any fruit in our lives, I just want to warn us, what do you think God sees? Jesus is very clear in other parts of Scripture what happens when there's a bush that doesn't bear fruit. In fact, he says a couple times that he just burns the bush down. It's this spiritual fruit that comes from obeying the word, that comes not just from reading the prescription, reading the directions. No, we actually have to apply it. We have to take the medication. We actually have to act and follow Jesus in this. That is when we begin to get the spiritual fruit that allows us, this spiritual maturity that allows us to get through some of the biggest challenges, the biggest tragedies in our life. But I think a lot of times we come, we do Bible study, and I'm guilty of this as well. We do Bible study, and then we never actually apply it into our life, and then we wonder why the littlest challenges in our life just wreck us. The littlest challenges in our life just put us into a spiritual stupor. No, no, no. God doesn't command us, give us commands just to be amused by if we'll follow them or not. He doesn't give us commands to make himself feel powerful. No, we don't serve an insecure God. No, God uses obedience as a means of spiritual growth in our lives. It's through obedience to Jesus, through obedience to the Word of God, that he forms us into the likeness of Christ, and at the same time, while doing that, accomplishes his will to redeem a people for himself and restore his creation. One and the same. And it starts with obedience. Obedience is the true measure of faith. And obedience, the spiritual fruit, the spiritual maturity that God uses in us, uses our obedience to build us in that, gives us the strength to tackle the biggest challenges and tragedies in our life. Obedience builds the faith needed to weather the storms of life. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about here in verses 25 through 27. It's not the knowing, it's the doing, Jesus is saying, that makes all the difference. Now, I just want to say this morning, if you don't have Jesus this morning, if you haven't put your faith in him, I got to be honest with you, I don't know how you get through some of the biggest challenges in life. Some things life throws at us are hard. They're really hard. And maybe they've wrecked you in your life. I can tell you from personal experience that I went through some things in my life, if I didn't have Jesus, if I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, God's presence within me working powerfully, I'd be in a really bad place. And maybe you're in a really bad place today. Maybe you're going through one of those challenges right now. I just want to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus, put your trust in Jesus, and read the word, obey the word, and he will grow you to spiritual maturity to get through the biggest challenges and tragedies in your life. and come out the other side even better. It's only through obedience to Jesus that the greatest tragedies in our life can be turned into the greatest victories. It's only through obedience to Jesus can the greatest challenges in our life be turned into the greatest growth opportunities. Only through obedience to Jesus. It's obedience that builds the faith needed to weather the storms of life. It's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. Now you might be wondering, as I did when I went through this last week, what's the application of this message on application? And so I found three things in his word that I believe if we apply to our life, if we actively obey them, if we do them in our life, we'll see not only personal fruit in our lives, spiritual fruit, but we'll also see fruit as a church body. And we'll accomplish the mission that Jesus gave us, this amazing mission to make disciples that make disciples, to multiply, and to see this whole area, this whole community saturated with the gospel. If we do these three things, I believe we will see that happen. Number one, the first thing we need to do is approach Bible study with obedience as the goal. Approach Bible study with obedience as the goal. We've already found out that Jesus is far more concerned about what we do than by what we know or hear. We've already found out it's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. And so now we need to, when we read the Bible, at any point, we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. And we need to keep the Holy Spirit, especially in the forefront of our minds, asking him, how can we apply this word? How can we make this real in our lives? And Holy Spirit, give me the courage, give me the strength to do it. We cannot do it without him. Because Bible study isn't the goal. Knowledge isn't the goal. Learning isn't the goal. Obedience is the goal. And Jesus gave us a work to do. Now I believe this to be the inspired word of God, God's very words himself. And I find it to be infallible in all the things that it addresses. But this word right here, Jesus gave us a work to do. This word right here is to equip the worker to actually do the work. This is what God uses to equip the worker to actually do the work, and we have work to do. And that's to make disciples. And when we obey his word, we approach Bible study with obedience as the goal. We see disciples made. We become a stronger disciple, and like I said before, the word itself, when it's carried out in our lives, affects the lives of those around us. It multiplies. So we need to approach Bible study with obedience as the goal. And this this is a hard thing to do. And I think we take passages like Acts 2 where it says we're to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. We take that kind of with a Western filter and we think, oh, that means that they were devoted to learning from the apostles. They were devoted to studying with the apostles. But be honest with you, in that Acts 2 passage, they didn't have anything to study. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't sit around in groups and talk about passages of scripture. Devoted to the apostles' teaching meant they aligned their whole lives, they devoted their whole lives to living out what the apostles were telling them. The truth, the gospel that the apostles were saying, they aligned their whole lives to live it out in the everyday stuff of their life. Not just when they gathered together, but in the little things in their life, they aligned it to go with that. So when we talk about devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, when we talk about devoting ourselves to the teaching, we need to keep in mind that that's life alignment with the word. It's living out the word, and we need to keep that in mind as well when we approach Bible study with obedience as the goal. The second thing that we need to do is to not learn more until you've applied what you've learned. Do not learn more until you've applied what you've learned. It says this in Luke. It says, "And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." I don't know about you, but it makes it pretty clear here that the more knowledge we get, the more knowledge of his will, the more knowledge of the gospel that we have, that we retain, the more accountable we will be held to actually living that out, to act according to his will, as it says in that passage. And so I want to challenge us this morning, if we're just floating around or just ingesting Bible study after Bible study, but then never actually applying it to our lives, what we're really doing, guys, is just digging ourselves a really big hole. We're just racking up a bunch of knowledge that we're going to be held accountable for. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a severe beating. I don't want a light beating. I don't want any kind of beating. Who here wants a beating from Christ? I saw a couple hands go up. Okay. Do I need to go back like a couple minutes? Let's say you were in a Bible study on James. That's great. I love the book of James. The book of James is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And maybe you've gone through the book of James. That's great. Now, how are you caring for widows and orphans? How are you applying that to your life? How are you doing with being patient in times of suffering? How are you doing with speaking life into other people? In James chapter 3, taming the tongue, I could tell you from experience that some of us haven't done a very good job of that. We haven't done a very good job of speaking life into people. So maybe up here from the pulpit, we just need to go back to the Fixer Upper series, go back to James and James chapter 3 on taming the tongue and just keep preaching that week after week after week after week until we finally start to apply it to our lives and act in obedience. Let's not learn more until we've applied what we've learned. We all think it's foolishness. We all agree it's foolishness to bite off more than you can chew. Well, let's apply that to our Christian lives as well, because that's exactly what Jesus is talking about there in Luke 12. Don't learn more until you've applied what you've learned, because it's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. Let's not live foolish faith lives. We also need to live the Bible in community, number three. And we've gone so far from knowledge to application, and that's great, knowledge to obedience. That's awesome, but we also need to make sure we don't get caught in this individualistic mindset of only personal application. Guess what? The Bible wasn't written for me. The Bible wasn't written for you. The Bible wasn't written for a person. The Bible was written for a people. The Bible was written for a people to be on mission together, to live the word together, to be obedient together in the way that it was meant to be carried out, the way obedience was meant to be carried out, and that's in community. We need to live the Bible in community. It says this in Hebrews. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's pretty clear that we need to meet together. We need to encourage each other, to spur each other on to love and good works. And I love Sunday mornings. I love the church. We're scattered throughout the week, and now we're the church gathered on Sunday morning. And I love worshiping with you all. I just love gathering together as this church. But there's no way we can encourage each other to submit to Jesus in all areas of our life with 1 hour on Sunday morning. It's just not possible. The disciples were with Jesus for 3.5 years in the everyday stuff of his life. Cooking with him. Guys, they probably, this is this, maybe don't think about this, maybe 2 years out to this one, but I just thought this last week, like, wow, the disciples probably saw God go to the bathroom. Isn't that weird? Is that awkward? That tickle you a little weird this morning? It was awkward, but just made me think, wow, yeah, he was a everyday person as well. Like, they were with him 3.5 years, learning from him, directly learning from him, on mission with him, participating in mission with him, seeing him do all these miracles, seeing him live out the word, seeing him be totally grace and truth all in one. And that it's evidenced after these 3.5 years in the Gospels that they still didn't believe. They still disobeyed him. And we think we're going to do it for 1 hour a week on Sunday mornings? It's just not possible. And that's where small groups come into it. That's where getting people around you to hold you accountable come into it. That's where community comes into it. If I'm going to be held accountable to how I treat my wife, I need people in my life close enough to me, giving people enough access to actually see how I treat my wife. Am I holding up the standard in Ephesians 5 where it says to love your life sacrificially as Jesus sacrificed for the church? And if I'm not doing that, I need to give people permission to speak into my life and hold me accountable, to lead me to repentance and lead me in right faith. Because we could try obedience all we want to, personal application all we want to, and try to obey by ourselves, but we're going to fail because it's not the way God set it up. No, God set it up for us to obey, to be obedient to his word and community. Because we can't do it ourselves. Now we all have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to lead us in obedience. But it doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in community. If you're in a small group already, but all you're doing is, and this is great, getting into his word and studying the word, that's awesome. But if you're not in each other's lives day in and day out throughout the week or have permission to speak into each other's lives, then I feel like we're missing the mark. If we're in an ABF on Sunday mornings, I love ABFs. I love getting into the word together and discussing it together. But if you don't see those people throughout the week, if you don't have other people in your life holding you accountable to obey the word, then I feel like we're missing the mark. In fact, Jesus says we're missing the mark. Because he's saying it's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. So if you're not in a small group, I just highly encourage you to contact Pastor Tim, and he will find a group that works for you. And I can guarantee you if God is in it and you are obedient to being in community, those people will now become your best friends, speaking from experience. And you will live out obedience in the way that it was supposed to be, and that's in community together. Now, imagine with me, just for a minute, if we, as the church, as Trinity, took one verse, one Bible verse, and let's just, a simple Bible verse, it says easy but does hard, judge not, right? Don't judge others, I'm just summarizing it. We take that one Bible verse, and all of us here, 800,000 people, whatever we are, we just concentrate on that one verse, and we're all completely obedient to not judge others. Now, we're never perfect, but just humor me here. Let's just pretend we're all completely obedient to not judging others, but showing love to others in our spheres of influence, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities. How do you think this community would change? I think there'd be a lot more people that would be open to what Jesus has to say. I think there'd be a lot more people in our communities that would change their mind about the statement of hypocrites they made about Christians. I think there'd be a lot more people in our communities starting to worship the God that we worship. We need to live it out in community. We need to approach Bible study with obedience as the goal. We need to take it step by step, being obedient step by step, and not learn more till we've applied what we've learned. If we want to see this community transformed, the South Metro transformed, we need to put Bible study in its correct place, and that's the means to an end. It's not the end in itself. The end in itself is obedience. The end in itself is sanctification. The end in itself is multiplication. It's accomplishing the mission. If we can do that, if we can go into the future remembering that, if we can go into the future knowing that it's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference, we're going to see a transformed community around us, saturated with the gospel, worshiping Jesus left and right, all colors, all ethnicities, all backgrounds. Because it's through the word that God uses us to not only build us up, but to accomplish his mission. And it's not the knowing, it's the doing that makes all the difference. Pray with me. Jesus, we just thank you for this time together. This time in your word. And we just pray, Lord, this morning that all the Bible knowledge we have, all the Bible studies we've gone to, Lord, would turn into obedience, turn into acting and living out your word. We know that's the true measure of faith. We know that it's through obedience to your word that You build our faith and allow us to weather the biggest storms in our life. Help us to do this. Holy Spirit, fill us to do this. And when we approach your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would show us how to apply it to our lives and give us the courage, give us the strength to do that. And Lord, I just thank you so much for this group of Jesus followers and that we get to do this together. We don't do this alone. We don't do this in isolation. We do this as a community of believers, holding each other accountable, spurring each other on to love and good works as you have inspired in your word. Help us to do that, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.